Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9, coming to you from Mechelen in Belgium from Techorama 2016. I'm here with my good friend Michelle LaRue Bustamante. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you for asking.
So I only get to talk to you in really fantastic places like London or here. So what are you talking about here in Belgium?
I just did a talk on Azure security, but from a sort of all holistic compliance perspective, and then I'm doing a talk on containers tomorrow. Microservices platforms and how to choose.
So this is interesting, right? Because we're coming into the container all the things era and microservice all the things, but there be dragons there that people need to be aware of. Can you help us out? You have extensive sort of experience when it comes to these kind of things.
Well, as extensive as one can have in a new space, but
Well, I mean, this is not new. I mean, it's just a new way of doing things.
It's an evolution.
So why don't you tell us about the dragons and maybe get into how these things sort of, how to think about them, how to get started.
Right. Well, I guess I would start with saying this isn't new, like you said, right? So we've evolved. We had this whole SOA thing back in the day. And the idea around SOA was sound, which is isolation of services so that they can own the functionality within, including the data, so that you could, in isolation, deploy, update, and use, and version, and all of the things. But we didn't really talk about DevOps in those days. We just talked about the functional meaning of a service. And we didn't solve problems that we needed to inside a solution. We solved the enterprise architect problem, which was, oh, I've got, you know, an ERP over here, and I've got, you know, an accounting system, other integration or CRM, and I can make those talk to each other, and they own their data and their UIs and their APIs. But when you build a software solution and you have relational data underneath, how do I build a service that owns only its data, and yet somehow customers and orders are related? So can I have a customer service and an order service? How do I do that? So we ended up overlapping, you know, the relational store and still having the concept of services for SOA, but it was sort of like little SOA is what I called it, you know, and it had allowances for giving the relations underneath, if that makes sense.
So in essence, the SOA of yesteryear, I mean like 2 years ago or three, however long ago it was there was a shared sort of back end that these services worked on top of. But that goes contrary to sort of the microservices architecture, is that right?
Right, so big SOA was enterprise architect, purist vertical view. Little SOA was, hey, I've got this relational database, but let's build some services in front. So the way we worked around the isolation was we built data services. But then you had to aggregate and then the performance sucked. Yeah. So you don't have a solution for that. But the thing is I believe that first of all, you don't have to go full microservices everything you do.
Sure.
You can, you know, I guess decide what's a good fit for your solution, for your time in the life cycle of the solution, for your team's capabilities. But the vision is that you do have that isolation and that you do have compartmentalization of the data. And then we start talking about things like event sourcing and how do we, you know, asynchronously update related stores on the back end without having to, you know, have the overhead of trying to call five services in a single call.
So that's interesting, right? Because all of a sudden, like once you get into the notion of you have all of these services living in all these containers, there's got to be a point where there is a certain amount of overhead that makes it not worth doing. Is that the case? I mean,
well, so the question is, where's the overhead?
Yeah.
So I know people that have simple Docker deployments, and they literally have a poor man's CI/CD process using either Jenkins or Ansible, and it's just, you know, essentially like services deployed to server nodes with a load balancer in front, and it works for them. So they're not gaining all the server density aspects that you'd look for with a container solution in the vision, but they are gaining the works on my machine, put it up there, still works, awesome. Got to fix something, pull it down, fix it, push it up, works, awesome. And there's something to be said about that. It is actually simple when you look at that view, though it's basic. The problem is when you start looking at a real distributed, scalable system with thousands of server nodes, what is the vision of containers? Why do we have this thing? Because we want to have density across all those servers, because you can save a company $100,000 a year if they're big enough.
Right.
So the people that are, at least in my experienced so far that are really seriously looking at this are either small shops that want that simplicity aspect or really, really big, you know, enterprises that will save money long term because they adopted this approach.
So let's talk a little bit about, let's just say you're a shop that wants to sort of move to this style of architecture, microservices. How do you start to think about your application differently in order to get there? My problem has always been defining boundaries between things. And it feels like you really have to do that with microservices.
Well, so you do, but there's also a migration approach that one could take. So for example, I know a lot of customers that have really large, today's monolith is different than the old days monolith, right? It's not one big executable, but it's like a big couple of huge websites with tons of APIs inside them, and then other APIs co-located and hosted, and they're all coupled together with shared code bases. I update this library and I'm affecting literally the whole system.
Right.
And now I have to regression test that whole thing. So that monolith, you can take an approach to break it up by just starting to think in microservices, which means you have a new feature. Does it really need to be part of this site or that site or this site, or could it be its own thing? You know, can that API you're about to build go in its own, you know, folder with its own set of dependencies? Can you start pulling out the feature library that has every feature across all of your apps and start building feature libraries that are just for that feature, that business domain? And now you've got this isolated thing that can have its own independent update and lifecycle, which makes sense because the whole goal, believe it or not, as much as we love code and we're geeky, is that the business has different lifecycles for updating things.
Right.
And you need to be able to meet that demand by not having dependencies on everybody else somehow. So what is a microservice is a really good question, right? Like, I mean, what is a business domain? Is it like, here is my credit card ordering store, and here is my reporting architecture for internal use, and here is my main website with feature A, B, and C? Could each of those features be its own thing, possibly, right? At least on the service level, maybe not, maybe the UI is coupled, but the back that does all the real work now are isolated. So you can start evolving to it with your app that you have now, and then eventually get to the full-blown, you know, okay, I've got this, right?
So it feels like what you're saying is that you have an application already. For the next feature, maybe go microservices with that one feature and see how it interacts. But then how do you go back into this old monolith? Because my
concern, hate it.
I know. One of the things that I've always had a hard time with is there's no longer, like, each microservice should have its own data store. How do you do that, right? Because you have these relations. I come from the old database kind of stuff thing, where you build a schema and everything works on top of that, but that's no longer the case. How do you change that?
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting, because if you already have a relational data store, it's really hard to think non-relational.
Sure.
And maybe not everybody has to go all the way right away, but the purest approach would be this. So if I have, you know, a service that does email and another one that does generating documents, maybe those don't even have a data store or state. And then I've got this ordering mechanism, this store, I don't know, a trading application. There's moving parts that sort of make sense to couple together, but there's bound to be a relationship between that and, like, the user, the profile, the orders and the customers.
They're all, like, intertwined somehow.
And so how do you break that up? And the answer is, well, if you start by not getting yourself wound up about it, seriously, and just say, customers are going to be shared, let's isolate them. So are orders, so is the store, so is email, so is doc generation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Map that out, forget about if it's containers or service fabric or what.
Whatever.
Just think about the business domains and the bounded context within which that application lives. Just think about that first. Get it on a map. And then you have to go through your query patterns. So everything comes back to the query patterns. When I update this, I also have to update that. Every time, sometimes, you know, you have to think about that. So it does start to feel complicated which is why I think you should take a step back first and not think about that until you've got the map, and then in a calm and deliberate yes. manner, walk through your use cases and your query patterns and think about it. Because what I have found is that in some scenarios, if you can embrace the sort of async model of event sourcing, whereby you kind of have a queued approach to updating all data, then there needs to be a workflow or an actor or something that owns the update of that data across all the things. And it can't transact until it's done. So that's where you start thinking, okay, am I going to get enough benefit out of building this to where it's worth putting an effort into that design, because it's work. Like eBay did that, right? They documented their event sourcing model, and you know, it's out there and other people are adopting it in maybe less complicated fashion.
Sure.
But I mean, why did they do that? Because they had a benefit on the other side, obviously, and that was able to help them scale. So you have to have the benefit on the other side to want to go all in. Now, one other thing I'll point out though, and this is sort of an interesting, more recent discovery, at least from my perspective, and that is there are platforms that make that easy to do, and that's going to continue to get better.
I see.
And I would say, interestingly, Service Fabric has really nailed that with the actor pattern. And so I have, implemented pieces with Team where you've got an actor at the top and a hierarchy of children, and those are the things that get notified of updates, so they all actually own their own store, and there is copies of data, and there's even copies in the aggregate,
right.
But it's all handled through these events and notifications that are reliable
right.
and distributed. And therefore, your system's always consistent eventually.
Right.
So it's the eventual consistency part you have to get your head around. Is it okay that it's going to be a couple of seconds? Because eventual consistency doesn't mean 5 minutes, right? It should mean a few seconds or less, right? It should be milliseconds, theoretically. Right. So
let's talk about, you mentioned a lot about this notion of event sourcing. Why don't you describe what that is to maybe someone that hasn't understood it before?
Sure. I mean, I guess ultimately it's an async model of updating the system, whereby there are multiple owned data stores behind microservices that need to be updated together as part of a, let's call it a transaction or an orchestrated event, and that need to be reliably updated. Therefore, there needs to be an owner of that orchestration. And so how that's done typically is with a queuing model,
right.
whereby the messages are played to all of the services that need it, and then until all of them have completed, it's not considered complete,
done,
consistent. Now, the how that you know the transaction's complete is the tricky part. If you're doing Docker and you are building this yourself, then you actually need to be the one that makes sure that it's getting done. If you start looking at tools that help you to do that, then you have to master those tools. And then again, I would argue that probably the best I've seen so far, but there's a huge ecosystem, so I'm not going to know everything, would be the way the Service Fabric handles it. I think it's pretty impressive.
Cool. So now that we've talked a lot about sort of the notion of moving to microservices, what are some of the common mistakes that you've seen people put in when they're trying to implement these kinds of things?
Well, I think not designing.
Yeah.
So that's step number one. And also not being ready for the DevOps story. I mean, the whole premise of microservice is that you're taking SOA principles, which we already kind of knew and understood.
Sure.
Maybe bringing them to a more micro level, therefore. But in addition, the sheer necessity with all of these moving parts of the automation, roll back, roll forward, upgrade in place, in situ.
And even roll back sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And that story, it requires you to have good practices. So it makes you a better team if you embrace it fully. And you cannot survive without it. Like it's impossible.
So you're saying that if you're going to go microservices, you've got to have a DevOps story.
Well,
if
you should have one without microservices, arguably, but let's just say that microservices forces you to think that through up front, or else you will fail.
That's awesome. So where can people go to read more about the stuff that you do?
Interesting. You mean...
Do you have a blog or something?
I have a blog, and I sometimes go there. I will be there more. I know.
Me too.
Right?
This, there's so much goodness here when it comes to architecture and distributed systems.
I'm working on some work. I'm working on some publications right now.
Oh,
so that will be posted. And I certainly do several conferences and workshops around the globe lately. And so that'll start to increase. I have a mission.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for spending some time
sure.
with us and laying the knowledge on us. We've learned a lot about microservices, where the pitfalls are, the dragons, so to speak. Thanks so much for watching. We're here in Belgium in Techorama. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.